Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father, thank you, Lord. Once again, Lord, you've given us another day in the land of the living. We just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Father. Now as we look to the word, later as we look to you in prayer, we plead the anointing upon us, Lord. The blood as of a protection, the anointing as the power that we need, O Lord. Protect us and empower everyone, Lord, everyone, even the little ones here. Protect them, their hearts and their minds. Anoint them that they too will be able to understand something, Lord, what you are trying to tell all of us. Speak to us, Lord. Commit everyone, the body of Christ, who are tuned in, everyone into thy hands. Be with us, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. Okay, I know most of you have missed all the 10 chapters, but we cannot go back. We'll go to verse 7. Okay, in the days, so we are here with the seventh angel. Okay, the whole book of Revelation is a book Pastor Vijay will enjoy because it's full math. It's full maths, absolute maths. It's a whole sequence of sevens and numbers and all, okay? So you have the seven seals, then you have the seven trumpets, then you have the seven bowls. Here we have reached the seventh trumpet, and subsequently you will see the seven bowl judgments, and it will all finish. Here it says, in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. When we gathered on Friday, Monday, we looked at, towards the end, the 12 mysteries in the Bible. Okay, we are not going back there. A mystery is in the Bible is not something hidden, but something revealed only to the committed. Okay, remember Jesus telling the apostles when he asked them, why do you speak in parables, that people don't really understand? They enjoy the stories, but they don't get the message. Why is it so? He said, because the mysteries of the kingdom of God is given to you and not to them. So the question is, the mystery of God, what is the mystery of God that would be finished in the day? Remember, it's not the day, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. When the seventh angel blows the trumpet, we won't hear it. It'll be in heaven, but a whole set of things will start happening. Terrible things will start happening on earth. So during those days, a mystery that began hidden will be finished. So we know what is the mystery. The mystery is actually revealed in Revelation 11, verses 15 to 19. When the seventh angel sounded, there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, our Lord, and of our Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. See, ultimately, the mystery is the mystery. If you've been listening, all of you are there in the Sunday service. Not in Sunday school, but at the top, you know, we are. I don't know why I realized as I study the book of Revelation, I realized why God brought to specifically focus on the kingdom of God this year. The reason is the mystery ultimately will be complete is when the kingdom of God comes down and the kingdoms of this world is over. It is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please understand, for 6,000 years, the kingdom of God has always ruled over everything. But God personally has never stepped down to earth and ruled. During the days of the seventh angel, when he sounds, what will happen at the end of it? The reign of God personally, physically on earth will begin. Christ will step down. And the millennium reign of Christ will begin. That is when God will personally rule earth through his son, Jesus Christ, 1,000 years. If you read the subsequent verses, The 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." He said you had great power, absolute power, but you never used it to come down and rule. But now you have come and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven. The ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings and noises and thunderings and an earthquake and a great hail. So this are the, when the seventh angel sounds, you have the last judgments of God, the seven bowl judgments. With that, judgment is over. No more judgment. Okay? The kingdom of God will manifest on earth. Like I said, there is always this question. The question is because of evil and injustice. Where is God? Why doesn't God do something? Remember, the prophets all have asked this question. Job asked this question. Jeremiah asked this question. Why does God allow the righteous to suffer and the wicked to prosper? Okay, now we know. Suddenly, summer has come upon us, and as days progress, we'll wonder, Lord, how long before the rains come. But you need to remember, before the fall, there was no extremes. There was extremes. It was absolutely perfect climate. There were no extremes in nature. Everything is because of the result of the fall. So when people go through all the suffering they are going through, natural calamities, man-made calamities, wars, and all these things, people always ask this question, Lord, why? Why, Lord, why? Okay. Where is God? Why doesn't God do something? Why does he allow the righteous to suffer and the wicked to prosper? These are questions people have asked. And the answer is actually given in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Why? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He had promised in the beginning that I will come finish it all off, and I shall restore it all. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the question is, why does God put up with great wrong? The reason is because he doesn't want anybody to perish. So even the judgments of God that will come in the book of Revelation is over a period of time, and everybody doesn't die. He's still giving people in the midst of it to repent and turn. Because God doesn't like judgment. No father likes punishing their children. They don't like it. But they know they have to do it, but they don't like it. Isaiah 28:1 says it this way. Oh no, I got it. I am not one. It is the strange work of God. Is it 11? Okay, if you don't get it, it's okay. It talks about judgment is God's strange work. He doesn't like it. Okay, God doesn't like it. Okay, no father wakes up in the morning and says, "Today I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to thrash all my children." No, God doesn't like it. Okay, God doesn't like it. His holiness and his righteousness demands it. Okay, demands it, but God delays it. Okay, delays it. Please understand, why does he delay it? Because everything about God is eternal. Okay? Because he is eternal forever and ever. So if you read Hebrews 6 and verse 2, Hebrews 6 and verse 2, okay? Resurrection of the dead and of what? The last one is what? Read it together. So when he judges, it is eternal. It cannot be reversed. Cannot be reversed. In the 1990s, there was a Supreme Court judgment about bribery for urban politics. Day for yesterday, the Supreme Court today reversed the judgment. Okay? One judgment by an earlier Supreme Court bench was reversed by a current Supreme Court bench. But when God judges, it cannot be reversed. Why? Because his judgments are eternal. So far we have only seen temporal judgments we have. So when finally God judges, it will be eternal. That is why he waits. That is why we have to understand the mystery of God's patience. Mystery of God's patience. Because if God wants, he can close this age in a twinkling of an eye. A twinkling of an eye. Think about it. Yet he waits. Pardon? Yeah. I said 28:21 it was. Okay. That he may do his work. His awesome work. And bring it to pass, his act. But it is not his usual work. It is his unusual work. It is strange work. He doesn't like it. When he is angry, he has to judge. But he doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. It's unusual. So we can be grateful for God's mystery. That is patience. That is so patience. Okay, so I shall begin with me because I'm the oldest in this room. What if God had decided, okay, it's over in 1980. Where would I be? Because I was saved only in 84. What if God decided in 1983, okay, it's over, it's finished, I had enough with this world, judgment is set. None of us would be here. None of us. Now, some of you would are not even born. Okay, you need to understand the patience of God is not a bad thing for us. It's a good thing for us. Okay, good thing for us. Because the fact of the matter is, it's only because of the patience of God we are here. Hopefully we have entered into the kingdom of God. Therefore, that is why the three words of exhortation to the saints always. What are those three words? Endure, be patient, and persevere. Don't give up. Because when judgment is set, it's over. God through Christ will personally take up the reins of the earth. And the millennium rule of Christ will begin. Okay. Before eternity comes, before the new earth comes, new earth is fantastic. Okay. You have to dream these dreams. Okay. You have to see with AI, they're making the movies, cartoon kind of this thing with beautiful color from Genesis onwards. They are making onwards. It looks good. Okay. It looks good. Okay. Because you have to think this thing because the Bible says, our imagination cannot grasp what eternity is like, cannot even grasp what millennium reign will be, because you know, this is how God operates. If you remember when Jesus was preaching and Peter and all were cleaning their nets and then he was on their boat, and then when he finished, he told them, go to the deep, okay? And they said, cast your net. And they said, we labored all night and we got nothing. But at your word, we will put it. And they got a great catch. There are so many lessons. One lesson is that God doesn't want us to end in failure. He wants us to succeed and then he moves us to the next realm. Okay, keep that principle in mind. Whenever you change offices or companies, don't change at a wrong note. You should leave victoriously. Not as a failure, but that's the kingdom principle. Meaning, we could say, why doesn't God judge and then eternity begin? Why this 1,000-year rule? And then release Satan again for a little and then again destruction and then the judgment and then eternity begins. Is the reason is that God is showing to us for 1,000 years how this earth should have been taken care of. So the promises in Isaiah and all the prophecies in Isaiah and all will start taking place during that time. Remember, by the time the seven bowl judgments are over, earth is devastated. Half the population, if it were to happen now, half the population of earth will die. That is 4 billion people will die. Okay, it is going to be terrible. The destruction that will take place. Natural, supernatural destruction. But Jesus will restore everything. This earth will literally become paradise. Nobody will have to worry about summer or blizzards or typhoons and cold, snowstorms, nothing. He will restore this whole thing. And the saints who overcome, who come back with him, will be part of the restoration. Okay, part of the restoration. That is 1,000. We remember last Sunday, at the end of it, we saw how it will be. Everybody will live long. Not talking about the saints, but people who survived, who will be flesh and blood. They will have normal lives, no? They will be under Christ, no sin. But they will marry, they will have children, and even the youngest one will live 100 years old. Nobody will die, okay? And you saw, everybody will become vegetarians. I'm not sure whether you can eat fish. Maybe you can eat fish because fish is not mentioned in that rain. But it talks about animals all the way till eat grass and animals. So everybody will be like hipsy. Okay. Dogs. Nobody will be scared of dogs. Dogs won't be scared. Cats, lions. You can have whatever pet you want. Okay. Lions, snakes, pythons. You... no problem. Nobody will kill. Nobody will bite. It's going to be the way the Garden of Eden was. He will turn earth into so, no? Why these things? Because you have to always look. Otherwise, you'll go back here depressed, you know? See, you need to have hope to fight depression. And what is the hope? It is coming. The millennium reign will come. Okay? Because the thing is that on one side, 7 years of the Antichrist rule, iniquity would have reached the highest peak. Then for 1,000 years, we will see the mystery of godliness. How we should have been. When God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And earth will be ruled by the laws of the kingdom of God. And everyone who submits to it will experience perfect liberty. And those who don't, he will rule with a rod of iron. Revelation 2:27. Revelation 2:27. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's vessels, as I also have received from. There will be no manifestation of any kind of sin or crime in this world. Because the scepter of his kingdom is the scepter of righteousness, and with righteousness he will rule. So this is the end of the mystery. The mystery was the kingdom of God. And that mystery will end because we will see the kingdom of God being manifested on earth. That is why we have to consider Romans 11 and verse 22. Two things we are asked to consider. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. Okay. Those who continue in faith, he's very good to them. Those who fall, remember, he'll be very, very severe, but he is patient. Now go to Revelation chapter 10 and verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. And verse 9. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Okay, I hope we did those things, ate some books. Your brains would start to function if you ate some books. Okay. Before we get into that, we must note that twice in these two verses, the apostle is told to go and take. Go, take. And even when he asked the angels, he's told to take it. What is the implication to us, whether you are young or old? The implication is, God's revelations are never forced on any man. The only thing that is compelled on us is the gospel of salvation. Repent and enter, don't die. Once you enter, you have to go and take. Don't be forced. I can only teach, but you cannot learn. You cannot learn. And the fact of the matter is most people in the churches are not learning. Because you have to take it. You have to personally take it. You have to personally spend time and effort. The book, Laodicea, God will, Jesus will tell the church, buy from me. Gold refined in fire. You need to realize that growing in the Lord is not like the receiving of salvation. That's free. After that, nothing is free. Nothing is free. Even to John, he said, it is not given to you. You take it. Go take it. Twice. And he goes and take it. So take it seriously. Because these are disciplines and there are small ones sitting over here. I'm telling you, the earlier you begin, the easier it becomes. The more you delay, the more difficult it becomes. Because that's our mind. Our mind is never a vacuum. You know that? I don't know, sometimes some people you wonder whether it is a vacuum. But usually it is not a vacuum. In the sense, if you don't fill it with the Word of God, you will automatically fill it with something else. If you learn, you don't struggle, fight to think the way God tells us to think. You cannot stop thinking. Have you noticed? Even of those you are listening or not listening, you cannot stop thinking. When you are not listening, that means you are thinking something else. It doesn't mean your mind is blank. You cannot stop thinking except when you are sound asleep. You cannot stop thinking. So the earlier you learn to think according to the Word of God, the easier the battle begins. Otherwise it will get more and more and more difficult. So there is something that is left. This is all because God gave us the free will to choose. And every day you are choosing. So here he is told, take this book and eat it. And tells also what will happen. Sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly. It will be sweet in your mouth. It will be bitter in your belly. Let's look at the other prophet who was asked to eat. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and then 3 verses, 1 to 3. Ezekiel, you son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then 3 verses 1 to 3. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly, fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Okay? You see, what is told to prophet Ezekiel and told to prophet John is the word, what is it? Eat, not chew. A lot of people don't eat, they chew. Now what you chew is chewing gum. You chew it and you chew it and you chew it. When all last sweetness you can get out of it, you spit it out. Okay? And the fact is that so many Christians chew the word of God, but they never eat it. Never eat it. The Bible says we need to eat the word of God. Okay, now if you look at all of you sitting here, I can't see myself, but I can see all of you. Your bodies is all I can see. I wish I could see into your soul so I could see what you're thinking. Okay, but I can't see. I can only see your bodies. Do you know what your bodies are? The sum total of the stuff you have eaten. Everybody's bodies. It's a sum total of what you have eaten and what you ate, what was digested. That is what you are. In the same way, what your soul is, what you have read, what you have assimilated, has become part of you. That's where the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. That's who you are. Our body is a visible part. Our soul is the invisible part. Both are fed constantly. Both are being fed. Except those who are fasting, Everybody else eats three or maybe more meals. Those are fasting, maybe eating two. Okay, but the two maybe like four. No? So you need to understand your body is what you eat. Okay, what you eat. Your soul is what you eat. Soul is what you eat. And here to this prophet and to the other prophet, God is giving us a lesson. He's telling us, you know what, in this case, of course, the implications are much more, but the simple implication is that we have to eat the word of God until it becomes a part of it so that we will learn normally. It's a normal. That becomes our default setting. What is it? It is to live by faith. Okay, live by faith. Living by faith actually becomes our default setting because our thinking is that. We think according to the word of God so that whenever we are faced with any decision to make, our default setting will be, but this is what God said. This is what God said. This is what you bring the kingdom of God into that picture. Meaning, in the kingdom of God, this is how people live. You bring it, that becomes your default setting. But because we live in this fallen world, remember, to love the word of God is bitter and sweet. But it is sweet, okay? In Psalm 19 and verse 10, this is what David says. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. We have that song, no? Sweeter than honey. Okay. Go to Jeremiah 15 and verse 16 and then Psalm 119. 103. 15, 16, Jeremiah. Your words were found and I ate them. See, nobody is saying I chewed them. Also because there was probably no gum then. But, no, I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Go to Psalm 119 and verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Okay. So to Ezekiel it is told, the message is both sweet and yet bitter. Yet bitter. Which is true. Okay. Because the gospel of the kingdom of God is both sweet and bitter. It is salvation to those who believe and judgment to those who refuse. It doesn't give you an option. Okay? Doesn't give you an option. Because the Bible, the word of God and the kingdom of God is very clear. Jesus says, if you don't gather with me, you are scared. If you are not with me, you are against me. So if you're not being saved, you're being destroyed. Only thing in eternity, it will be manifested, but you're already being destroyed. You see, we see the destruction of our bodies only in the mirror. But when you reject Christ, you are not able to see the destruction of your soul. In eternity, the minute you leave this body, like the rich man left this body, what he's realized was that, I'm destroyed, I'm finished. Now this is the year 2024, right? 24, March the 8th. He's still crying from there. I thirst. He was destroyed. There is no reversal. So all of us are also strange creatures when we go out into the world. This is how 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 15 and 16 talk about us in the world. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. But in verse 16, to one we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other, the aroma of life leading to life. Who is sufficient for these things? So every believer is a contradiction in the world. A believer meets a believer, he gets encouraged. The unbeliever meets that believer, he realizes he's experiencing death. Okay, so the word of God is both sweet and it is bitter. The sweetness is because of our hope, the blessed return of the Lord. And in a twinkling of an eye, the transformation of these bodies, the end of grief and suffering. The bitterness is because many will refuse the mercy of God. Let's look at the implication of this verse, okay, when Jesus said it. In John 6 and verse 51 about eating the word. 6, go to 6. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone, he didn't say chew, he says eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world. If you read from verse 53 onwards to 58, you will see. Then the Jews, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him, in you. Whoever eats this flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of. He's talking again and again about eating. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now what is Jesus talking here about? What is it actually talking about? You know, we need to look because we are talking about eating the word. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 2 and read from verse 42 onwards. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Actually, 42 is enough. This is the first setup. This is, like I said, this is the template. You know, now you're all IT people. You know what a template is, a format. Okay, into that format you have to fill in. It's like bones, but you have to put the flesh in. He says, this is how ideally every church should operate. First, people hear the message of repentance, gospel. They repent, they believe, they get baptized. When they get baptized, then he says, do two things. Be steadfast and continue in these things. What is that? First is the apostles' doctrine. What is the first thing? Okay, now you need to understand, it is explained very clearly in Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2 and 3. From the time Jesus began his ministry and then when he rose again, he says, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, okay, to whom he also presented, okay, for 40 days. What did he speak? Speaking of the things pertaining to the. So if you look at Jesus teaching these disciples, he always taught them only how the kingdom of God functions. Okay, kingdom of God for this is. So what is the apostles' doctrine? They are teaching the church, how do you live as a kingdom community? What are the rules of this kingdom? You are no longer of this world. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. You have been born again. You have entered into a kingdom. So learn in this world to be different and live like a kingdom people. That is the first thing. Okay? So that is the apostles' doctrine. But every doctrine has to be tested. How do you do this out? That is why, we know, we have heard it so many times in your science classes. You have theory. You have theory. And then you have what is called practice. Yeah, shut the door, okay? Shut the door. Practical. Okay? You have practical. What happens in the lab? What happens, actually what happens in the lab? We have two science students, so yeah. Shut, lock it, okay? The door is open because the AC is on. Okay? What happens in the lab? What you learned in the theory class is tested out, right? Then you will know whether you understood the theory or not. And I struggled in the lab because I was not as, my mind was not wired for science. Okay, I was never wired for science, so I struggled in the lab. I could hear it, but when you came to the lab, what you heard and this looked completely different. Okay? Completely. The only thing I liked was taking this potassium granate pellets and putting glycerin into it because it would catch fire. Okay? So, what I like, because as a young boy, you like crackers and you could make your own crackers if you manage. So what I used to, those days used to get potassium gum, even now you get it in the medical stores. So one of the things I used with money was always buy glycerin and buy potassium bromide, put it on a carton and go to the back of my grandfather's house, put it, that was my lab. The only thing I understood. But you need to realize, the purpose of the laboratory is to know whether the theory you heard is working or not. So God has put over there doctrine. This doctrine has to be lived in a community called the church, which is the part of the kingdom of God on earth. Okay? The kingdom of God. Whether it is working or not. And in the working of it, we will have lots of issues. In the beginning, as you grow older, it's like a marriage. In the beginning, you will have lots of problems. But if you learn how to scripturally handle the problems, you will have less and 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 problems. Okay? Because remember, in everything, for everything, there are laws. This week I was speaking to 4 or 5 people, okay, about the laws of marriage. The laws of marriage. Okay, in the laws of marriage, the first law of marriage is it is not good for a man to be alone. Then I said, did you ever see the second principle of the law of marriage? When man speaks, Adam said, when God brings Eve to Adam, Eve never speaks, if you notice. She only speaks to the snake. She never speaks to the man. Okay, but Adam speaks. You know what Adam says? Adam says, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So, in counseling, we tell men how men hear words and how women hear words are completely different. They're not the same. When men hear words, they hear words. When women hear words, they experience it. So if you call a boy a dog, he will say, kutta, huh, my bite is worse than my bark, he will say. Or if he's spiritual, he'll say, Caleb also was a dog. But when you call a woman a dog, it's an experience. She will not forget it. She will not forget it. Okay. Because he's only hearing a word. She's not hearing a word. She's seeing a dog. And that to a black dog. And he called me a dog. I shall show it to him. So, that is the first thing. So, the whole thing is that God is saying to men, fathers, especially fathers and husbands, you should affirm your daughters. Because they need it. Men don't need it. So, there are laws in the kingdom. These are kingdom laws. For everything, if you want to succeed, what you need to do is understand the law. What is the law? Because behind anything that is successful, it is simply because that person has understood how the law works. Okay. Now, Banu is here, Sammy is here, Rachel is here. Okay, there are 3 people here. They drive. And they drive confidently. 4-wheeler I'm talking about. Why do they drive confidently? I can't. Because they have mastered the law of driving. Mastered the law of driving. There are laws. You cannot just drive randomly. You will die. But if you master those laws, and the more you drive, the more you drive in heavy traffic, all kinds of traffic, you become better and better because you're understanding how the laws work. So whether it is relationship, whether it is anything, the whole thing is that we are not understanding, we're just doing our devotions and becoming more morose. We are not studying the word of God to understand how the kingdom works. Because the Bible says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. The question is, how does the power come? Why is that Banu and Sammy and Rachi are sitting here and I'm also here and I'm much more smarter and intelligent and well-read than all of them, but I can't drive. In certain subjects, not in computer and also their own subject, they're smarter than me, okay. But the question is, why can't I? Why don't I have the power to drive? Because I haven't mastered the laws. Okay. So the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God touches every facet of our life. Why? Because the kingdom of God rules over everything. So God is telling, I have given you the manual you need for success. What is it? It's my word. It's my word. Heaven and earth will pass away, not a dot from my word. It's forever settled in the heavens. It cannot be changed. It cannot be reversed. So if you are smart, you won't just read your word. If you are smart, you will go into the word of God and understand the principles, how things work. Why do business people, some business people are extremely successful. I'm talking about some honest business people are extremely successful. Because they have understood the principles of business and applied it. Do you know where the principles of business are? It is in this. It's there in this. How you succeed. Everything is in this book. And smart people have gone and searched it and found it, applied it, and they are successful. So here it is talking about it. What is it saying? They gathered daily for the apostles' doctrine. What is this doctrine about the kingdom of God? How do you live as a kingdom community? Then it is practiced out in fellowship. How do you live it out as a community? And when you have issues, what should you do? That is where the table is kept. The Lord's table. You judge yourself. You make amends. You put it right. Okay, these first three things. When you do 1, 2, 3 consistently. 1, 2, 3 consistently. What is one? Not prayer. Prayer is another different activity. What is one? Apostles' doctrine. What is two? The practical lab, living it out. What is three? Wherever you have gone doing, making the correction. Do you know what you do? You are eating the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. His life is becoming your life. That is what he meant. That is what meant. He says, each time you do it, you are partaking of my life and you're becoming more and more eternal. What is eternal life? That we know God and Christ. We are partaking of his life. Instead, we do our devotions. Like I said, Christianity is not a religion. It is not a religion. It's a government. It's a kingdom. And what is the final mystery? When will be the mystery of God be finished? When the kingdom of God comes down on earth. Now think about it. Now Hepsi's process is almost ready. By May or June, she'll be in US. But when she goes to US, it doesn't matter how many YouTube videos she sees. When she goes there, she will find it a very strange place. Because experiencing it is a different country, a different thing altogether. Okay, so she will take, first thing she will look around is, are there any Indians? Okay, to connect. She will take a long time to get used to it. Because many will not understand, though she's, her English is good here, they won't understand her English there. And she won't understand their English. Accents, all kinds of things, it will take a long time to adjust. Probably by the time she adjusts, it will be time to come back. Now the question is, if the kingdom of God is manifested today physically, will you adjust into that kingdom? Have you lived that kingdom life till today? Or will you be like an alien? Oh, I am saved, the kingdom has come. All look like strangers. Laws are different. Habits are different. I am so surprised. Now I need an orientation. How to live in this kingdom into which you are born again? That's a question you need to ask. If the kingdom of God were to come in now, do you need an orientation? Will you fit in just like, wow, this is what I always dreamed. Like when I and my wife went to Shimla and then we went on a horse drive. The Ma was screaming and screaming and screaming because the horses were going faster and faster. But you need to read my entire life young. I read Louis L'Amour. I was always dreaming on horseback and riding. So it got into it for the first time in my life. It was so natural for me. I didn't panic. I knew exactly what to do, how to put your stirrups, how to hold that by your knees, how to control the speed because I had read and eaten and chewed and eaten it, digested in my mind all the time. So it was so natural to me. She was screaming, honey, 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 honey. Okay, why? Because we were both strangers on horseback. But the difference was, one never thought about it. The other lived it in his mind. So think about it. If the kingdom of God were to come in today, to be manifested today, will you be comfortable? Will you feel out of place? Suddenly, you look around and Abraham is there, Isaac is there, Joseph is there, Daniel is there, Apostle Paul is there, Peter is there, they are all there. Let me ask you this question. Peter comes and asks, Jyoti, I wrote 2 epistles, do you remember them? I'm so sorry uncle. Okay. John comes and says, I wrote a gospel and 3 letters, did you read it? Ezekiel says, on 8th March you heard about me eating a book. Did you ever eat a book? These are not characters in some fiction. These are real people. All real people. God says, do you live the kingdom? Is that what is in your mind? When Paul talks about it, he says, you know, I want to go. He's not dead or anything, ill or anything. He says, I want to go. If you ask me, I want to go. But I want to stay back for your sake only. But he says, if you give me a choice, I'll go now. Okay. Think about Rebecca being told by her family, why don't we celebrate for 8 days? And because he's saying, Eliezer is saying he wants to go tomorrow morning. So let us ask the girl. They'll ask her, do you want to go? She said, I want to go. Why? The thing is, she's been thinking about Isaac for hours and days and weeks. Probably the news has come and she's been thinking about him. She says, I want to go. So the question is, what are we thinking? That is what faith does. Faith is not about grabbing things for this world. Faith is alive. When you live by faith, in reality you are living in the kingdom, in an invisible kingdom. That's the question God is talking about. What does it mean to eat the word of God? What happens? Your bodies are what you eat. Your souls are the words you have eaten. If you think in a particular way, it's because you ate that. If you live a particular way, it's because you ate that. What is that you have eaten? What you have that you have eaten? That's the question God is asking. Okay. So it is bitter and it is sweet. Sweet in the mouth, bitter in the stomach. Why? That is true. That has to be true. Look at Jesus so that we will understand. Because we are replicating his life. We are not living our life. We are called to live his life. Isaiah 53:1 and Hebrews 1:9. Isaiah 53:1 and Hebrews 1:9. Yeah, go. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Yeah, come down. Yeah. 53. Got it? Sorry. See, I'll give you the exact verse, okay? Verse 3. 53:3. That's it. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Who is this? Jesus. What does Hebrews 1:9 say? Okay. You have loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So Jesus is a very strange person. He is a man of grief and sorrows, and yet he has more joy than all the others. Okay. So, we are also strange creatures. Why? On one side we have joy. Other side we should be full of grief. Why? Because we do not know. We do not know whether all the people we love will make it. Okay? Think for a minute. Enoch, when he was taken. You think he didn't think about his wife? Or his children? The rest of the household, many generations, they're all alive. And he's just taken alone. Joy of going. And the grief of that, the others were in there. Think about Noah when the door was shut. 18. Rest out. In the rest are a lot of flesh and blood. Own close relatives. Very close relatives. Noah was not the only son of Lamech. That means his own brothers and sisters are out. The joy of escaping the wrath of God and the grief that all of your household did not. Okay? So please remember, don't take these things lightly because the days are getting closer when you won't be here for the teaching of the two witnesses. Because about the two witnesses, something is written. I believe one is Elijah, the other will be Enoch, that their bodies will lie on the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days, and the whole world will see it. You need to realize that for 2,000 years when that verse was there, it was not possible until our time. Now, if there is a body lying on the streets of Jerusalem, anybody, anywhere in the world can see it if the cameras focus on it. This was not possible to be fulfilled until our time. So we are living in exciting and dangerous times for the fulfillment of all these prophecies. I mean, John MacArthur, I think last week, preached a message, something like that. Why is that people are not hearing? Why is it that people are not hearing? What is blocking our sight? Why is that people are not hearing? Why are they not able to see? That's why God said, do not be overcome by worry, anxiety, fear, worry, or excitement of life. These two things will blunt our eyes and our ears to the coming of the Lord. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. So think of these people. Of Enoch, of Noah. Right? Or Moses, when told you and Aaron will not enter, Joshua and the others will. Okay? Think. Okay? Because we should be a strange people. A people full of joy and full of grief. Which is true. I look into my own life and I look into my own household. I do not know how many will make it. There are no guarantees. You can do everything humanly possible, but you cannot save another person. It is the supernatural work of God if somebody chooses to believe. And that's not in your hands. You can fast, you can pray, you can preach, you can stand on your head, you can do whatever you want. You cannot save another person. Cannot save another person. So you need to understand there is this tension always, one of joy because of the kingdom of God, because kingdom of God's manifestation is joy. The other side is grief. Is grief. So think about it. Okay. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, when will our grief go? Finally. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. It's only then the sorrow will be taken away. How God will do it, I do not know. I believe He will supernaturally intervene and erase from our memories all the memories of our loved ones who didn't make it. He will take it out. Otherwise, we'll grieve in eternity. And there's no grief in eternity. Okay. Let me read to you something I was sharing with a few people yesterday. Do you enjoy your memories? I don't. If you do right, you will. Joseph had a terrible life as a youth. But he chose to do what is right at every stage. Therefore, when the tests were all over, even in his deathbed, he had only good memories. In my father's house, I did right by my father and my brothers. In Potiphar's house, I did right by him and his wife in work, ethics, and morality. In the prison, I did right by the warden and the prisoners. And later when the Pharaoh committed everything into my hands, I did right by the Pharaoh and for the nation. Ultimately, I did right by my household and preserved the legacy of God. So when he had memories, all the memories were good. God said, God never said, we will forget. He only said, he will forget. We have to live with our memories. It can become our guard, our protection, or our destruction. Remember David, the man that fell. The only cry of David we will remember is, Absalom, Absalom. I wish I had died in your place. But those of you who are young, little ones sitting over here, and who are in a church where you keep hearing the word of God, you can choose the path of Joseph. Path of Joseph. So that when you have memories, you don't have to have memories with grief attached. Can have memories with joy attached at every stage of my life. I thank God. I choose to do what is right. Chose to do what is right. Chose to do what is right. Because this is all talking about memories. It's talking about grief. It's talking about bitterness. What is joy? It's a memory. What is grief? It's a memory. God has made us. Because God never says, we will forget. God says, I will forget. The only time I believe we will actually forget is when 1,000 years are over, eternity begins. There God says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. What will he do? He will do something supernaturally only God can do. Erase those memories over and we will not cry. Because we have nothing to go back to grieve and cry. Even if your father didn't make it, you will not have any memory of your father. If your child did not make it, you will not have a memory that you once had a child. That's how I believe. Otherwise, this won't be there. This is not true. But God says now, sound the alarm. The kingdom is getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And when the seventh angel blows the trumpet in those days, the mystery of God will be complete. What is the mystery of God? It is what is called the kingdom of God. How will the mystery be? If you see a mystery movie or read a mystery book, how does it end? At the end, you realize, oh, this is what it happened. What happens when the seventh angel blows at the end of it? The kingdom of God will come down to earth. The invisible will become visible. It is no longer a mystery. So God says, live by faith. Live by faith. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. But by the renewing of your mind, know what is the good, the pleasing, perfect will of God. Live now as you are in the kingdom. Live now. So when the kingdom comes, you will just fit into it. Like we say in English, like a hand in a glove. You just fit into it. Yeah, this is what I was born for. You know, sometimes you discover your actual talent. One day you discover and realize, this is what I was born for. Like Jesse Owens said, God created for me, created me to run. I was born to run. Okay, so one day you'll wake up and the kingdom is here. You will realize, this was the place I was born for. So live like that, as strangers, aliens, pilgrims in this world, but live like kingdom citizen, because the entire Bible is about the kingdom of God. There is a king, there is a kingdom, and be right with him, his righteousness. Amen? We shall have Peter back, and we shall pray. Tomorrow I hope to see all the Chudukus there, it's pastor's conference, and you are all little shepherds and shepherdesses.
breathe alive into this dry and thirsty soul.
Lord, we just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. This morning, Father, very specially, Lord, we commit our children into the hands.
Yes.
Even all these little ones who are seated here, Lord, we commit them into the hands. They are your children, Lord. Their parents, one day by faith or by sight, we do not know, dedicated them for you. And we bring that to your remembrance, Lord. They are yours. Let none of our children be lost, O Lord. Let them not also just creep into the kingdom of God. Let them be that generation, Lord, about your prophets prophesied, O Lord. About whom Daniel said, the generation that shall know their God. A generation that shall be innocent of evil,
yes, Lord,
but be excellent in what is good.
Thank you, Lord.
Touch these little ones, Lord. Touch them. Touch them. And touch the young ones who have strayed away, Father.
Yes, yes.
Touch them. Deliver them, Lord. Deliver them, Lord. Deliver them. Deliver them. Deliver them, Lord. Deliver them. Deliver them. Deliver them. Bring them back.
Thank you, Lord.
Many of them are like the prodigal son, dead. But we pray. They are beyond our hands, but they are not beyond your hand. That they would come to their senses. That they would start talking to themselves first. If I go this way, where will I end? How will I end? Well, that's the beginning of the prodigal son's return. He started talking to himself. You caused this to happen, Father. Cause them to think. Cause them to ask. Let them come out of that fogginess in their brains and start thinking and start asking hard questions. Then arise and return. And you are always there waiting, waiting. He told Israel all day long, I waited with outstretched arms. But who has believed our report? I pray, Father, they will believe. There is a father who will not condemn the prodigal when he returns.
Jesus.
But will cover, will welcome and celebrate. Touch today, Lord. that somebody return. Somebody come to their senses. For deliverance is of you, Lord. It was not a human hand that worked out deliverance. It was the hand of God's own Son that worked out deliverance for all of us. There are some in the church who are oppressed constantly. Deliver them, Lord. Deliver them.
Yes.
Have
yes.
mercy, mercy, mercy on them, Lord.
Mercy, mercy.
It's in their minds. Yes. Tormented in their minds.
Yes.
Memories.
Jesus.
Deliver them, Lord.
Deliver.
You can.
Set the captives free, Lord.
You can, Lord. I pray they will believe what they hear and rest their case before you. And you can give them peace
yes.
about their past.
Yes, Lord.
We cannot change our past.
Yes.
All we can is receive from you that peace. Touch, Father, touch. Heal the sick. All those who are not well in their bodies, touch them. Touch them, Lord. Touch them. Heal them, Lord. Touch them.
Yes, Lord.
Touch, Lord. Touch everyone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everyone. You know them.
Yes, Father. Yes.
You know them. You are our provision.
Yes, you are. You are.
Meet each one. Those who need healing, strength, protection, power, provision.
Yes, Lord.
Above all, your presence. Meet, Lord, each one. Each one, Lord, each one.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Many need favor in the courtrooms.
Yes, they do.
The injustice that is being done, piled upon them. But Lord, ultimately the case rests in your court.
Yes, it does.
Everybody's heart is in your hands. The king's heart is in your hand.
Yes.
Potiphar had no clue probably why he showed favor to Joseph.
Yes, yes.
The prison warden had no clue.
Yes,
the
yes.
Pharaoh had no clue. The eunuch had no clue why he showed favor to Daniel. The other eunuch had no clue why he showed favor to Esther. The king did not know why he stretched his scepter towards Esther.
Yes.
The same king who banished Vashti showed favor to the Hebrew girl. Because the heart of the king is in the hands of our God. He uses it to serve his purpose. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For you are able to change verdicts, change the course of nations. Because when that king stretched forth his scepter towards Esther, he didn't know he was changing the destiny of Israel from death to life. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Once again, be with all your children here, everywhere. Let your hand of power, protection, and provision rest upon each one, Lord. Once again, we stand in your house and we declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.